This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. How many of us have them? Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with. Songs with
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 5 of Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is Kelly. Kelly, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. The sun is shining. I'm not out there mowing my beast of a yard. Well, things are going all right today.
Awesome.
All right. For those of you who are new to the show, typically we go through song lyrics and sometimes we will figure out what is going on behind the songs. Sometimes we will give our interpretation of the lyrics. Sometimes I will make wild accusations about the activity of the artist. Today we are going to start with the first single from the 2011 album, Take Care. This is Marvin's Room by Drake. I picked this song because I don't think I've ever heard a drunk dial in audio form. And Drake's one of those guys who never really resonated with me as an artist. But I think there's some relatable stuff about this song, good and bad. I may end up telling on myself a bit here. But I'm looking forward to going through this and hearing what Kelly has to say.
Yes. The woman's perspective.
No. That's right. Like, what's it like to be on the other side of Drake's phone call?
Yeah, like, I feel like, and I probably am sounding very sexist here, that women must receive way more drunk dials than men do.
I guarantee it. Women and bosses.
Oh, my word. I hope none of my employees ever drunk dial me, but yeah, it could happen.
Like I mentioned last week, this is a special request song from Cameron Hawkins over at southcongress.com. Follow him at Seahawk, C-E-E-H-A-W-K on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. And give him shit. I mean, he's a bully. He's kind of a man whore.
Oh, my gosh.
Not really. He's just more of a tease, but I like to tease him, and he is not here to defend himself, so I'm going to let him have it. All right. Getting into it here, it starts with an actual phone call, like a dial tone, the girl picking up and whatnot. I'm not going to get into all that. I typically don't do talking interludes here. But we start with Cups of the Rosé, Bitches in My Old Phone. So right away, he's off to a great start.
Yeah.
Before we get too deep into this, too, I forgot to address, there is a certain prominent word that appears in a lot of rap songs that we may cover. Per tradition, we will not be saying that particular word, even though I've been pretty loose with other expletives here. And its substitute will be the David Bixenspan, Chris Zellner approved redacted statement, which is the word we'll be going with there. He says, I should call one and go home. I've been in this club too long. So essentially, he's in a club, drinking his ass off, contemplating what to do next. Should he call one of these bitches in his old phone? First off, why does he have multiple phones?
Yeah.
In the champagne room. Kelly, how many phones do you have?
I have one, but I have encountered people in my life that have two for that reason of multiple women.
So. You know whores.
No, I had a neighbor one time like that had two phones because he had he was in a committed relationship and he had a girlfriend and he had two phones. And I was like, holy hell. Yes.
That is a level of bill paying that I am not ready to commit to.
I think one, and this was a long time ago, this was back probably when you could get a free phone, when you signed up for a plan. But I think one was more a prepaid phone and then one was, I think, I don't know.
He did the Walter White burner phone.
Yeah. I just started Breaking Bad again, thanks to your No Holds Barred. So, yes.
Yes, big shout out to JT and Aaron, No Holds Barred here on the Place to Be Nation podcast family. Good show. I recommend that. All right, so then he goes into, the woman that I would try is happy with a good guy, but I've been drinking so much that I'm going to call her anyway. Drake, my man, what are you doing here? Now, for a little bit of a background on Drake, for those of you who may not be super familiar with him, outside of Sprite commercials, which is basically where I knew him from before this song came out, this cat has like been in entertainment his entire life, essentially. He was on Degrassi in some iteration playing a kid in a wheelchair. And that's like a high school, middle school type show, if I'm not mistaken.
I did not know this.
You did not know that Drake was a wheelchair-ridden Canadian
no.
preteen slash teenager?
No. Wow, that's... No. Nope.
Kelly getting the exclusive scoop here on Songs with
Friends. I'm going to have to hit up Wikipedia about Drake, I guess, here in a little bit.
And that's part of what turned me off from him as an artist, because like I like to have a sense of struggle in my music. And this is a cat that's essentially had everything handed to him in my eyes. Now watch him say my name on a damn diss record next month.
Like, he'll get you.
I can't relate to this handsome Canadian kid who's had money for as long as he can remember.
Yes.
That's not my reality. I cannot relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Kelly, has there ever been anyone who's called you and said, look, I know you're happy with your situation, but I have something I need to tell you?
Yes. Of course. I think everyone's experienced that. Usually drunk and not, both, I guess. But I think the drunk one is the worst. So.
Was it from a burner phone?
No. Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of, no.
All right. All right. So now he just, like, he's drunk. He recognizes he's drunk. He recognizes that he's about to fly into enemy territory, so to speak. But he doesn't care. He goes guns a-blazing. Says, fuck that redacted that you love so bad. I know you still think about the times we had. I say, fuck that redacted that you think you found. And since you picked up, I know he's not around. Now, that last line puts a bit of a twist on this scenario.
Correct.
Like, he knows he's being too bold here. And he's just putting it all out there. But then he recognizes the counterpoint that she's expecting this call. And that she's picking up and at least entertaining him. Maybe testing limits on her end.
Correct.
Now, I want to know what the situation is with this other guy. Like, these are the kind of questions that come up in my messed up head. Like, is he a doctor? You know?
You want to know the career of the other man.
Like, is he on call out there saving lives?
Is he a good man, so it makes it worse? If he was a piece of shit, then it would make it not so bad.
Meanwhile, Drake is calling from the damn Sprite commercial set, trying to game on his woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, is this other man Pusha T? Like, I got a lot of questions that I don't have answers to.
I know. Yeah.
And then he immediately goes into hater mode on her. He says, I'm just saying you could do better. Tell me, have you heard that lately? I'm just saying you could do better, and I'll start hating only if you make me. Now, we're past that, Drake. You are like a certified fucking hater at this point.
Yeah, that's on my notes here. He's a hater. I don't know why. I always thought he said, and I'll stop hating only if you make me. But it's start. I'm like, you're already hating.
Oh, bringing up Cam as the guy who kind of recommended this pick and encouraged me to go forward with this, he has a term for this. It's not his term exclusively, but he's the one that introduced me to it. This is a stone-cold case of dirty macking, if I've ever seen it. You know that the person's spoken for, but you go hard in the paint anyway. And he is just the most blatant case I've ever seen here, which happens when you're drunk.
Yeah.
I wonder if sober Drake would be making these same moves.
Well, this is my thought too. Like, and I think of things in a funky way. So like, I actually don't like that statement so much. Like, you could do better. But yet he won't be better for her. It's like very like, I don't know. I think it's like a damaging statement to someone. Like, you deserve better, but I would never have given that to you either. That's why you're not with me. So I don't like that.
Hey, and that is fair.
Yeah.
And then he, he's still drinking. Cups of the XO. All my people been here. I see all of her friends here. So he's apparently out drinking with this woman's friends.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, that's typically in a breakup, you know, oftentimes the you know, there'd be almost like a parting of the, like a draft, if you will.
Yes, there is. That's it. There's a draft. I'm going through that in life. No, just kidding. There is. I mean, it's like somebody is usually more friends with the other person. I mean, with one of them. And if you're my friend, I don't know. Why are you out with him?
But at the same time, Drake is the type that has some money, some influence. He's the kind of person that people who are into that scene want to be seen with.
Yeah, that's true.
So I could perceive this as him kind of flaunting that clout. Like, hey, you know, I see all of her friends here, but I guess she don't have the time to kick it no more. And then he starts to lay the guilt trip on her. Flights in the morning. What you doing that's so important? I've been drinking so much. Like, why? But I'm going to call you anyway and say. And then he goes into that whole spiel again from the chorus before. I don't like this. Yeah, I'm flying out in the morning. I'm going to put you on the spot even though I'm drunk and I'm calling you in the middle of the night. What are you doing that's more important than me? That's a bad look.
Mm-hmm.
That is borderline abusive behavior is what that is. Trying to belittle the person for not wanting to see your drunk ass in a scenario where it's not going to end well.
Yeah.
You know, it's either going to end in disagreement or end in regret sex. Either way, you know, somebody's not leaving this room happy.
Yeah.
All right. Then he goes into his rap here, which it's like he's, I like the picture that he's still trying to game on this woman.
Yeah. I don't see how this is helping his case, this section. Like, why is he singing this to her?
No, and Kelly, you've picked up on something here. When you're intoxicated and you're not getting your way, sometimes you will ramble.
No.
And in doing so, you will think you're pleading your case, but instead, my God, you're setting the whole fucking house on fire.
This is true. I'm sure I've done this.
So he's talking to this girl like, hey, you know, I know you still like me. He's not around, so you're picking up. And then he just snowballs into, I think I'm addicted to naked pictures and sitting talking about bitches that we almost had. Like, whoa, what?
Oh.
I don't think I'm conscious of making monsters out of the women that I sponsor till it all goes bad. But shit, it's all good. Now, that it's all good, that's something that I clung on to a bit. Like, all right, I know I'm fucking up here, but you know what? I'm owning it. I say it's all good probably 3 times a day in my work day.
Oh, yeah. Like, me too.
Like, so-and-so just kicked open a door. I'm like, shit, it's all good. We'll handle that.
It'll be fine. It is what it is. Whatever. Okay. Yeah.
All right, get the squad together. We got to handle this, but you know, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Well, and I always feel like, this, I don't know if this is a little off topic, but like, there's something about money that and fame that changes, I think, like, I don't know. Like, I sometimes believe certain people, I shouldn't say it's about everybody, they're as faithful as the options that they have. And I feel like especially wealthy, famous men or women, I think it's very hard to, I mean, he's got to have chicks just throwing themselves at him, right? Like, all the time. And not everybody's strong enough to just... Like, he's a cheater. And to me, in this song, he cheated on her. That's what he did, and that's why they're not together. That's my guess. He just seems like that kind of person, so.
I mean, he's the kind of person who straight up hid a son from public eye, so.
Oh, yes.
You know, a man's adept at keeping secrets.
Yeah, that's, like, pretty impressive, to be honest with you.
Now, this line here, I don't think I'm conscious of making monsters out of the women that I sponsor. I mean... This is the kind of man who theoretically could throw $28,000 at a woman in a foreign land.
Stop. Oh, shit.
But
that would be nothing to him.
It really, I mean, he probably spent $29,000 on XO and Rosé that night at the bar before he made this call.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, I can't relate to that. I couldn't imagine just throwing money at someone like that.
No, no.
But, I mean, at this level that Drake is messing around, you know, that, you know, hush money is, I'm sure, just flying out the window. When everybody's camera has a phone and TMZ's contact info is right there on their website, you know, you got to pay these women to shut up. You got to have the non-disclosure agreements signed at the bedside, ready to go. I mean, there's a whole level to this that I can't comprehend, being a 36-year-old white guy with a decent paying job in the middle of Kentucky.
Yeah, no.
I'm not on that level.
Yeah, same here. Same here. I don't think women do this as much as men, but I've never gone into a bar and showered drinks onto anybody in my life, ever, but myself.
And then here's the ramble continues. We threw a party. Yeah, we threw a party. Bitches came over. Yeah, we threw a party. I was just calling because they were just leaving. Like, come on, man. Like, no.
Yeah, that's...
So he's essentially telling her that... Yeah, I'm thinking about you because I'm drunk, but you weren't my first choice.
Yeah, you're the runner-up. Do you want to come over now? Yeah, that's a no.
The bitches are leaving. A spot just opened up.
I thought you were reading the lyrics for a second. No. I was like, that's not on there.
Do you want the call-up? He's trying to give this woman the hot tag after the stars have left. Yeah, it's a dumpster fire, this song is.
Yes.
Talk to me, please. Don't have much to believe in. I need you right now. Are you down to listen to me? Too many drinks have been given to me. No shit.
Yeah, no accountability for himself either.
None. And Cam pointed that out on a recent South Congress podcast when the double album dropped. That's Drake's biggest problem is that it's never his fault.
Yeah.
It's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah. Well, and the person in me like that likes to enable people, I kind of felt when I read that little section, I'm like, oh, everybody, you know, everyone needs someone to talk to, you know, and some people, if you're lucky to find someone that you feel that you can connect with and talk to and they understand the way you think, that's crazy. It's hard, you know, so maybe this chick is that for him, but he doesn't want to be good to her otherwise. So I was kind of like, ugh, I felt like a little bad for him right there. So.
Like, I see your point. Like,
yeah.
This probably is the one for him. And he blatantly screwed it up here. But at the same time, the problematic behavior is not stopped. He's calling in the midst of a sea of women to talk to this other woman back home that he misses, clearly. I'm saying back home. God knows where the hell she is. But in... trying to plead his case, he is just digging a bigger hole for himself here.
Yeah, yeah.
He says, I got some women that's living off me. Paid for their flights and hotels. I'm ashamed. Bet that you know them. I won't say no names. So he's telling her, all right, I'm sponsoring some of your friends, but I'm not going to tell you who. There's dissension in your camp. But you're going to have to figure it out for yourself.
You know what's going to happen. You're going to tell me.
This is like some real...
I'm going to find out.
This is some real low-key snake-in-the-grass manipulative shit is what this
yeah,
is.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure.
After a while, girl, they all seem the same. I've had sex 4 times this week. I'll explain. Like, nah, man, there's nothing to explain.
Keep that to yourself, that part.
It's like, you know, but I think the point he's getting at here is I've had the physical outlet, and that's not sufficient.
Yeah.
Like, I need you because you connect with me on a different level. And he thinks he's doing good here by telling her this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's like,
no, well, that's what I'm saying. Well, I was like, I kind of feel for him. I get it. Like, he's lonely, but he's never alone. And that's shitty. So.
And she's like, well, that's great. You've had sex 4 times. I'm over here raising this secret kid of yours.
No shit. What the hell? I'm sure he paid her a lot of money to help keep that secret. So.
Oh, those child support checks maybe had 2 commas.
Oh, man. I can't even imagine. Yeah.
Having a hard time adjusting to fame. So he can't cope with the problems that come with fame. So he's essentially trying to fuck his way out of that hole, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sprite in the mixture. I've been talking crazy.
The Sprite.
Yes, I didn't even catch that.
I thought for sure you were going to bring that up.
No, that is. I wonder if Sprite paid for that spot.
I'm not sure that Sprite would endorse this song, but maybe.
A Sprite endorsed Little Penny Hardaway. All right, they will endorse anything.
Okay, you have a point.
All right. I'm lucky that you picked up. Lucky that you stayed on. I need someone to put this weight on. Now, I've said some crazy out there stuff in trying to seduce a lady in my day. I need someone to put this weight on is not one of them.
And I don't think he meant it in the way you're thinking he meant it.
Oh, I think it's full on 175 pounds of Drake.
Well, I would like to hope it's the weight of, you know, his thoughts, but you're probably right.
You know, and I never even considered that as an option in 7 years of listening to this song.
Well,
it's
that's a woman for you.
Yeah, and that's some good insight. That's why you're here, Kelly. You opened my eyes to things that I would have not thought of otherwise.
No, and I really do think that maybe that's what he means. I mean, shit, everybody needs someone they can share all that shit with, and she's that. And she did pick up the phone, which I kept thinking that means something, like, because you could just easily block a number and not pick up your phone, you know, so.
I think she is a codependent person.
Yes.
Who is used to being that rock for him. Even though he's out being Drake and hiding kids and drinking Sprite and vodka, whatever the hell else it is that he's doing out there, she's the constant in his life. And she has a hard time disconnecting that because she may be worried about what happens to him if he doesn't have that base.
Yeah. No, and it's true. I think you can really, women, I think, and men probably do this too. I hate to say women. From my perspective, women, a lot of women I know, it's like, even if I don't love you, I don't want to be with you, I still care about you. If you were in trouble, I would help you. If you needed someone to talk to, you know, I would be there for you. And I know a lot of people that are like that with their exes, and it's, you know, probably a codependency thing or boundary issue, whatever. But also it's hard when you know someone needs you and they call you just to ignore them. And then I always think like, shit, what if something bad happened to them? Then I would feel guilty, you know? So.
All right. Now we go back into the chorus again, and then we go back, we go back to the phone call where he's essentially settling into the fact that she's not going to see him that night.
Yeah.
And then he just wanders back to the party like nothing happened.
Just
says, just throw up while I hold your hair back. So this party's off the rails at this point. Her white friend said, "You redacted's crazy. I hope no one heard that, because if they did, we're going to be in some trouble."
Yeah.
So essentially he's just wandered off into something else altogether here. Which makes me wonder just how important this whole deal was to him.
Yeah.
Did he really want to see her for almost some therapy type, makeup sex type scenario? Or was she just, all right, these other girls left, let me try her, and oh well, yeah, I shot a brick there too, so fuck it, I'm just going to go back to this party and see what happens.
Yeah, maybe she's not that important actually, or maybe she rejects him all the time and he calls because, I mean, nothing turns a person on more than someone that doesn't want them. I mean, I don't know what it is, but it's like, you don't want me, I'm going to, like, you know, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to change that. Like,
I will not be defeated.
Yeah, I will not be defeated.
All right. So that is it for Marvin's Room. And now we will transition to Kelly's pick this week, which was the first single from the 2001 album, Break the Cycle. This is It's Been a While by Stained. Now, Kelly, tell the good people of the nation why you picked this song.
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm just kidding. We could have like a 2-hour episode on this band. No, I don't know. I love this band. I think I hope this has happened to everybody where you find a band at some point in your life and you just feel like every song that they write or sing you can relate to in some way. And I was trying to figure out the year last night, and I think it was like when I bought my first house. Like, I think it was in maybe like 2000 that I kind of discovered them. And I went to like this rock festival, and Nickelback, I know your favorite, they were playing there. It was, I think they might have been the headliner actually. But Stain had played before them, and he was just like, I don't know. He did two things during the show that just like, I was in awe. Like he, you know, back then, I don't even know if kids do this now, but there was like mosh pits and crowd surfing and all this stuff going on. And there was this girl that was being like manhandled, you know, as happens. And this was 18 years ago, you know, and he stopped the show and he like called that dude out and had him like escorted from the, you know, the stadium. And I was like, wow, like, I don't know. And then I think the bigger thing for me about him is like he can sing acoustic, and I'm a big fan of any artist that can just like sing with a guitar and that's it. I don't think a lot of artists can do that. And so anyways, I have a mad love for this man and his voice. So I don't know. I'm excited. No, just kidding. So this was probably one of my first favorite songs of theirs, but I have tons of their songs that I love. So,
you know, it sounds like you picked up on them pretty much essentially the same time that most people did.
Yeah.
I think 2000 would have been about the time that acoustic video for Outside would have started hitting the airwaves, mm-hmm, with him and mm-hmm. Fred Durst.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it the Family Values Tour the year before?
Yep.
When Fred Durst was filling those lighters.
Yeah, I don't know. So maybe that was 99. I couldn't figure it out because I was trying to figure out, like, I moved out of my parents' house. I lived in an apartment. I was trying to figure out the timing. I'm not good about that. So it could have been even 99, but I think it might have been more 2000. Yes, that song is awesome.
And we had, like, I remember my buddy somehow was hip to them around 99 and 2000 because he had that mm-hmm. first album. I don't know if it was their first album, but the one right before that, Dysfunction. We would listen mm-hmm. to that in the car all day, being, you know, moody ass teenagers.
Yes.
And just loving it. And then out of nowhere, there was the thing with Fred Durst. And then when It's Been a While hit, it's like, holy shit, you could not get away from Stained out of nowhere. Like everybody was on them for a brief period there.
I'm still on them, but yes, I don't think anyone else. Although, you know, Aaron went a little country, so I'm not a big fan of that, but I have seen him twice since he's been in this like country thing. And both the shows I've been to, the first one was like a whole acoustic set, and he did majority of his Stain songs. And then I saw him a few weeks ago in San Antonio, and he had like a full band. It wasn't Stain, but he did a lot of the Stain music there too, and then some of his country stuff, which I could do without, but I deal with it. So.
All right. Well, Kelly, this is your song. You lead us here.
Okay. All right. So we'll start. It's been a while since I couldn't hold my head up high, and it's been a while since I first saw you. So I'll probably take this song like in a couple different directions, but I think this section of the song makes me think it's, you know, just about love and heartbreak. I mean, loving somebody that, it's maybe been a while since you've seen them and or even since you first saw them or you can look at them. But I also think this song has to do with addiction a little bit. So that's kind of my thought there. What you think?
You know, a lot of my issues with early Stained is this guy was depressed.
I think he still is.
Yeah. And a lot of his lyrics, I mean, there's, you know, some people are just that way and that's okay.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like Eminem still rapping about, you know, hating his mom at 42 years old or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, at some point you have to get off that train. And I think Aaron Lewis has done a reasonable job of that in his later music. But it's been a while since I couldn't hold my head up high. He's essentially facing this depression, and we aren't yet introduced to the person he's talking about, which actually could be addiction. Again, I've never mm-hmm. thought about that. In this video, it's more of a direct, right under the nose kind of thing, because he's looking through boxes of pictures of this woman that I'm assuming it's his ex, but, you know, who knows?
Well, that woman in the video is his wife.
Oh, she is his actual wife.
His actual wife, yes.
Look at the pop-up video.
Lucky lady. I know. Kind of creepy. I'm sorry, but no, that's his actual wife, yes.
Rock on.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I take it that way, too. Like, he's looking at pictures of someone he was with and he's not with anymore, but, I mean, that is his wife that plays that character or whatever. So,
And it's been a while since I first saw you. To me, that signifies maybe not concrete the first time he saw her, but that's a connection to a happy memory. It's been a while since I've had this happy memory. that I see you and I, you know, I think joyful thoughts. Whereas now I'm sitting here by myself, smoking a Marlboro Red and looking at Polaroids, just hating life.
Yeah. No, you're probably right there. All right. And then it's been a while since I could stand on my own 2 feet again. And it's been a while since I could call you. And so that again, I mean, I don't know. For me, and I think part of this is when I say addiction, like I think when we hear addiction, we oftentimes think like drugs and alcohol. But I have a good friend that one time had made the comment to me. I mean, you could be addicted to anything, a person, a relationship that was bad or unhealthy for you or whatever. So sometimes, you know, when I think addiction, I'm always like, oh, it's drugs or alcohol. But I mean, really, she could be like someone that he's addicted to in that kind of sense. I think he has all other kinds of addictions too, with drugs and alcohol. But I just think that's part of it, is when you become addicted to something or dependent on it, you know, it's very hard to stand, you know, literally, you know, just to take care of yourself and stand on your own 2 feet. And then, you know, really when you're, I know, you know, like I have a friend that's in a relationship with an addict, and I feel like, you know, maybe when he's not calling her, it's like he's ashamed. And I'm not sticking up for him in any way. It's wrong. But like, he maybe knows he shouldn't call her, you know, and he won't. And so that's just kind of how that is to me.
And this is, too, recognizing some weakness in himself. You know, mm-hmm. It's been a while since I could stand on my own 2 feet again. We touched on codependence in the Drake song. And I think this is a classic example. He is having a hard time just even facing a life without this woman by his side.
Mm-hmm. Sad. Wonder what he did. No.
Well, at the end of the video, he burned the damn house down with his irresponsible smoking.
Well, yeah, that might have been that. That might have been what did it. You burn my house down, we're going to have some issues.
That's right. I mean, some things you can't go even back from.
Yeah, even if you bought it with me, we're going to, like, oh, someone bought a house with me and burns it down, we're going to have some issues. Okay, so then we go into all the things I can't remember, as fucked up as they all may seem, the consequences that I rendered, I stretched myself beyond my means. So, and again, I think that's just it. I mean, I don't know, I feel like some of this too for me, and I have no idea what this life is like, but got to think like that road life for a couple to deal with has got to be, I couldn't really imagine being married to a man or in a relationship with a man that was like gone all the time on the road, and just maybe just spread thin in life. I mean, it's got to be exhausting. Like of course, maybe they get used to it. I know when I go traveling for a week, I'm like, I'm ready to have my ass home. Like, I don't, you know, I'm ready to be done with that. And I just think that lifestyle comes with all kinds of other things, women and drugs and alcohol. So that's just kind of what I think about there.
And on that point, this was 2001. Like we touched on, they had really only broken big as a band for about a year at this point. So it is entirely possible that that is part of the theme of this song, is coping with this newfound road life and the pressures that come with that. You know, you want to strike while the iron is hot, especially in entertainment. You know, that money is not going to be coming in forever.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're selling 500,000 albums a week, you want to get out there and hit those arenas and pocket that money while you can. And that does put a strain. You know, the other person doesn't understand why you're not around. You know, they know they know that you're out there making money, but, you know, they have to wonder, you know, what's he doing? Is he with some groupie? You know, is he shit-faced again? You know, these are... The road life breeds mistrust.
Yes. Yes. Our songs are crossing over. I hadn't actually thought about that till I'm sitting here right now, because I was separating them, but yes.
Oh, trust me, that will not happen next time.
I could go, oh gosh. I'm sure you're going to come up with, everyone's going to be like, Kelly with a rock song again, see some funky whatever. That's probably how this is going to go. All right. So then we got, it's been a while since I could say that I wasn't addicted, and it's been a while since I could say I love myself as well. It's sort of, I mean, that's the same thing. I mean, I've never been in a relationship with an addict, but I mean, I have a brother that's an addict, and I feel like, you know, I do really truly feel like he doesn't love himself at all. And it's very hard to watch, and, you know, be a part of, I guess, with someone that you do love and care about. And I just think he'll always be an addict. I mean, I don't think he has any interest in changing that part of his life. That's challenging. And he's admitting that, you know, he's letting her know, or whoever he's talking to, that it's been a while since he hasn't been addicted to something. But loving yourself is hard. And I think, I don't know. I feel like as I get older, I'm learning to do that more. But I think everybody could work on that in life.
Yeah, and most addicts do have some traumatic experience that,
yeah,
you know, it's not 100%, but oftentimes they will have encountered something that does mm-hmm. interfere with that ability to love yourself.
Yeah.
Whether it be, you know, childhood trauma or, you know, a loss at some point in life that kind of resets them to the state where there's this void, and they choose to fill that void with whatever the addictive thing is they've latched onto.
Mm-hmm.
And for this guy to just straight out and said, you know, I'm addicted, and it's been a long time since I could say I love myself. That's really to the heart of the matter. I think that's pretty direct.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think that's like, but I, at the same time, I know some addicts I know would never say that, like would not admit right. that. And I just hate to say it, but I think it's like, you know, maybe you're going to come around because you realize it. I mean, I think some people think, well, it's not a big deal. I drink every day, or I do whatever I do. I take these pills, whatever. And they won't admit that they have a problem. So, I mean, I really think like I'm giving them a lot of credit for at least acknowledging that. So, okay, this next part, I'm going to read kind of all of it at once because I didn't think it needed to be split up. So it's been a while since I've been gone and since I've gone and fucked things up just like I always do. And it's been a while, but all the shit seems to disappear when I'm with you. So I feel like, you know, I don't know. It's the same. Like we all, at a time in my life where maybe I wasn't making the best choices, or I maybe didn't feel the most loved, I met someone that made me feel that way at different times in my life. And I think that's important. You know, when I was a teenager, it was like, you know, it's hard navigating through life. And I maybe got into some things that I was like, I just felt misunderstood or whatever. And so when you can meet somebody that kind of just makes you feel like that shit is, you know, it's not there, and forget all the bullshit of life, I think that's important.
Yeah, I have nothing to add to that. You nailed it.
Whoa, even though I read a lyric wrong.
Hey, it's all good.
All right. And then we got, and everything I can remember, as fucked up as it may seem, the consequences that I've rendered, I've gone and fucked things up again. So, to me, well, I'll let you go first here.
This is just a guy who perpetually finds a way to negate any good that has come to him.
Yeah.
You see a lot of that with addicts. You see a lot of that with impoverished people. I touched on this before. I lived in a trailer park in my youth. And with the advent of Facebook, I was able to just be astounded by how so many people that I grew up with still live there. And it's like we were all kids, you know, back then. How are these people adults now and still living in that same trailer park? Like, they had to have made the conscious decision to stay there. They had to have bought a place at some point from somebody, you know, either an apartment or and it was not a good environment. There were drugs and all kinds of stuff, you know, oftentimes happening in my front yard.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a very self-defeating mentality. And it's rare, though, that you recognize that, as you touched on earlier. And I think Aaron here is doing a good job of self-reflection, at the very least. That's the first step, is realizing there's a problem.
Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. And I feel like when I read it, it's one of those things that maybe he knows he's going to fuck up, but she's going to be there. Maybe he's not that bad of a fuck up. I mean, there's different levels, but just kind of, he know, but some people will admit it, but still do it, you know, just right. like, Just that's just kind of how that's going to be. So and then we have Why Must I Feel This Way? Just Make This Go Away. Just One More Peaceful Day. And I think, you know, kind of putting one of my brothers on blast here, but it is what it is. He won't be shocked. So and I think that's, you know, I think that's something I see a lot in him is like he's just not happy or peaceful. And whatever he feels is wrong. Like, I think when he does choose to do the drugs that he does, that stuff goes away and he feels peaceful. And really, I think going through, everyone goes through shit, not some worse than others, but like going through like therapy or counseling or whatever, it's hard work and it's not everybody's down for it, you know, so they would just rather mask it. But I think it is really sad because I know, you know, everyone deserves to have peace in their life. And it's just hard when you see someone that can't seem to find that.
All right, Kelly, are you familiar with who Eddie Guerrero is?
I feel like I should know that.
Eddie is no longer with us, but he was a professional wrestler.
Oh, okay, yes. Sorry.
I bring up his name because in 2004, I think it was, they actually put out a little hour-long documentary on him, which aired on UPN at the time. And this was a guy who went through very well-documented alcohol problems, drug problems. GHB was his drug of choice. And he kept getting into car accidents and legal troubles to the point where WWE fired him in 2001. Brought him back a year or so later after he cleaned up and proved himself on the independent scene a bit. But in this documentary, they focused strongly on the addiction aspect. And the point that he made was, as an alcoholic, if he looked at it as, I have to be sober for the rest of my life, there's no way I can do that. But if I have to be sober for a day, yeah, I can do that. And then tomorrow we'll do another day, and then another day, and then it adds up. So just one more peaceful day. I kind of see that as, you know, all right, I'm doing okay at this moment. Can we keep this going?
Yeah,
I think that's important. What's the old "What about Bob?" baby steps gimmick.
Yeah.
Just keep marching along. Unfortunately,
well, you hear that one day at a time, right? So,
yeah. Unfortunately for Eddie Guerrero, he ended up passing away in 2005. More collateral damage from the drug abuse.
Oh,
yeah, but you know, it happens. Unfortunately. He made those choices, and they eventually, you know, the bill came, and he had to pay up.
Yeah, yeah. But no, I could see that. That makes perfect sense. Good point. Okay, and then we got, it's been a while since I couldn't look at myself straight, and it's been a while since I said I'm sorry. So, oh, gosh, I don't get this a lot. But I get, like, there are people that do not use the word sorry or don't apologize. I'm an over-apologizer, so that's probably why I don't understand that. I'm trying to work on that in my life. But I have, like, a lot of friends that have been with people that are just, they never apologize. They're never wrong. They won't own it. And I have a friend that has been with a guy for 15 years, and she had told me recently he's never said the word sorry to her. And I'm just like, what? Like, you know, so, but, you know, then again, don't say it if you don't mean it. And I guess, you know, why is he going to say sorry if he's going to continue to do what he's doing anyways? So maybe that's part of it. What's your thoughts?
You know, it's funny you say that. It makes so much more sense now. A little peek behind the curtain here. About a month or so back, we were supposed to record an episode, and I just straight up went to sleep and just slept right through the recording time. Just a real asshole move. And realized what I'd done after the fact. And, you know, Kelly and I, we chat through here and whatnot, but we're not phone people. And I called, and, like, I felt bad. Like, hey, I just want to let you know I'm sorry. Like, I fucked up. Like, my bad. And you were so stunned by that. Like, I didn't realize that I may be the first person to apologize to you in years.
I was legit stunned. I'm not going to lie. I was like, what? What? Did you call the right number? Right.
But, I mean, there are people like that, though.
Yeah.
I bet Drake never apologizes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's never his fault.
No, and I'm not ashamed to say that. I was shocked to hell, probably for like the rest of the day. I was like, wow, what was that? Some shit. What the hell? No, and I think too, though, I'm a big person about actions speak louder than words about anything. I mean, I think the whole, like, knowing someone loves you or they care about you or they're apologetic, it means more if they show that to you anyways. But I mean, just a legit apology, I just mean so much. And I mean, there are people that just do not do that. And my friend that was like, I've been with someone 15 years that's never said sorry. I was just like, what? Like, that seems crazy to me. But to me, that's either a person that's just stubborn or doesn't see their fault. I don't even know. That just, that's a whole nother level. But yes, it's funny. All right, so we'll go on. It's been a while since I've seen the way the candles light your face. And it's been a while, but I can still remember just the way you taste. I was like, ah. So anyways, that's like a very intimate statement to me, or I don't know. That's how I take it. Unless maybe he's talking about drugs at this point. But ooh. That's a, like, I don't.
What? Ooh. Now, I never have thought about, you've approached this addiction angle a couple times, which is good. Oh man. Like, what is he addicted to at this point?
Well, no, I think it's her, maybe, right. Or I don't know, Coke, who knows?
Like, in 2001, I would have been 19 years old, and this block of lines here is, was pretty much like the most intimate thing I think I'd ever heard on a record at that point.
Oh, yes.
The candles light your face. That is a very vivid picture that he paints there, but I can still remember just the way you taste, and that is him just, like, he just won this woman back right there. Like, Aaron, you slick, broody son of a bitch, you.
That's like a pretty intimate, you know, that's the most intimate a place someone could be with you. And so for them to suggest that or talk about that is obviously, you know, I was just trying to.
That's a strong connection.
Yeah, that's a strong connection. Yeah, not everybody does that with everybody or type thing or whatever. So, no, that's definitely super hot, I guess, in a way, but also it's just, I mean, yeah, when you, back then I was like, holy hell, he said that, you know, so.
Just putting it on the table, like.
Just putting it out there. Oh, okay. And so then we have, and everything I can remember, as fucked up as it all may seem, I know it's me. I cannot blame this on my father. I know he did the best for me.
What?
Bitch.
Like, I know that's the line. But that just came from out of nowhere.
He has some issues with his dad, obviously.
Like, clearly.
Well, and I think sometimes, like, maybe that's what you, like you were saying, like, you grew up with people. I grew up with the same kind of people that live where they grew up. I mean, I see this a lot, like, I was born in a small town in Western Pennsylvania, and my parents, took us away from there when I was young. I was 5, but like I would go there every summer. And like, I think at this time in my life, if I'm thinking about it, every single one of my cousins and my aunts and uncles and everybody except like my dad and one of my brothers lives there. I mean, for the most part. And so, and it's, you know, sometimes when I'm visiting, and you know, I usually go there every year, and it's like, oh, I want to go. I want to try something new. I want to go somewhere. But I know none of them ever will. I'm not saying it's bad. A lot of them are very successful. They have good jobs, whatever. But I think it's just, this is where I'm going to be, and I'm not going to try anything new. That's scary or whatever. I don't know. But and so maybe his dad was an addict, and that's what he grew up with. And I don't know. It's kind of sad. But I also feel like he's taking some responsibility. Like, I'm not going to blame my parents for everything. Can't blame your parents for everything forever. You got to put your big boy pants on.
Yeah, I see him making the connection here that, you know, maybe I'm a lot like my father. Maybe he had these same issues, but I'm not going to blame him. I almost have to be my own person at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, for an addict in particular, that's strong. Oftentimes, they will completely skirt responsibility. And I think this is a solid first step. You're very slowly seeing hints of recovery as the song progresses.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't want to speculate on his life, but I know the man still smokes marijuana, which, I mean, by my standards, you know, whatever. But I mean, it's I don't know that he's hitting hard drugs or that he drinks, but I mean, I definitely he's still on stage smoking cigarettes and I'm pretty sure joints while he's up there. So it is what it is. So that's it. That's the song.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun this week with two depressing-ass songs, so we managed to make it through.
I honestly didn't think about that Drake song. I heard it so many times, and I was like, yeah, that'll be fun. And then I started reading. I'm like, why did I think that at all? Like, this is pretty sad, but same with my pick, but that's okay. Yeah, that's why this is fun. Sometimes I think about a song, and I think it's just like a love song or something, and then I start, and I'm like, oh my gosh, no, that's not what's happening.
Yeah, what I tweeted about the songs we were doing, I wanted to say that it sounds like the most depressing house party of all time, but I did not want to, I thought that wouldn't be a good sell for the show.
Let people make that judgment for themselves.
Exactly. Hey, maybe our party sucks, but you got to come in first to find out.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
All right. Next time for episode 6, I'm going all the way back to 1985. One of those songs that I've heard probably 300 times in my life, but never listened to until Rich Fan of the Pro Wrestling Torch recommended it to me. It is by a band called The Outfield, and it is called Your Love. Kelly, are you familiar with this song, just on name alone?
No. I'm sure I have heard it, but no, I'm not, just on name alone.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those. He recommended it, and I'm like, what the hell's Rich talking about? So I Googled it, and I'm like, holy shit, yes, I do know this song, and now that I'm listening, it is problematic.
It's problematic. All right.
Yes, Kelly, what is your pick for next time?
Oh, I hadn't even really decided. I have the biggest list ever, but I really want to do this song sooner than later. So we're going to do Simple Man by Lynyrd Skynyrd.
That is one of the best songs on my playlist. So I'm looking forward to that. It was actually on my list as well. So I'm glad that you picked it.
Yeah, that's like a top 5 song of all life for me. I love it. So I just thought, you know what? Let's get to it.
All right, Kelly, anything you need to plug this week?
You can follow me on Twitter or Instagram, KelJean17, KelJean17.
All right, I actually do have something to plug this time.
Oh.
Yes, bringing up Rich Fan, I will be on the Pro Wrestling Torch live cast on Saturday, July 21st on the Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I believe we go on about 6 or 6:30 p.m. I have to double check that. You can listen live, or if you're a VIP member, you can download it after the fact. I'm not sure what our topic would be, but it's always a good time with Rich. I think this will be my 4th appearance on the show. You could follow my Twitter at NotDrDeath. That's NotDrDeath. You can follow our show's Twitter at PTBN_songs. And we do have an email open. That is ptbnsongsoffriends@gmail.com. We've had a couple song requests. Stephen Graham, you're on our radar. Don't you worry, buddy. We'll get to you eventually. And for Kelly, I'm Steve. This is Songs with Friends. We'll get at you next time.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which of course includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcast, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We'll be right back.